We now begin the 23rd Perek of Masechet Shabbos, Perek Chaf Gimel, and the topic of this Perek is also various Isurei Derabbanan, things that were forbidden rabbinically, based on a verse in Yeshaya, Isaiah in chapter 58, Nunches, talks about how on Shabbos a person should refrain Mimtzo Chetzecha, to seek out his personal affairs, Vidaber Davar, and should refrain from speaking about, you know, profane weekday matters. And from that it's learned that the way one conducts himself on Shabbos shouldn't be the same way as he does on a regular weekday, meaning he shouldn't be involved in, you know, commercial affairs. Even if you're not technically doing malacha, you shouldn't be going out to his field to assess where to plant or who to hire and that kind of thing. Nor should he make negotiations for a transaction after Shabbos. So the Mimtzo Chefzecha talks specifically about the doing commercial activity on Shabbos, even if you'd be sidestepping the halachas. Dabar Davar refers to any kind of speech that's weekday speech, including negotiations, etc., about the business. So our chapter will discuss certain implications of these restrictions. So the first Mishnah here is going to talk about if you need to borrow something on Shabbos. So the driving concern of this Mishnah is that if I would borrow something from you, you might be tempted to write it down so that you shouldn't forget that I owe you something, meaning to repay you what I took. And that being the case, we're concerned. In Hebrew, there are two words for borrowing. One is she'ela, to borrow, and one is halva'a, to borrow. Now, the technical difference between a she'ela and a halva'a is when you are shoel something, you borrow something, you return the exact same thing that you borrowed. So I borrow your pen, I give you back your pen. That would be a she'ela. A halva'a, a loan, typically is a money loan, but any time where you consume or spend what you received as the halva'a and you return the economic equivalent, that's technically called a halva'a as opposed to a she'ela. Now, the truth is that that strict definition isn't really reflected in the Mishnah, the truth is, but what is reflected in the Mishnah is the connotation of a halva'a is something that's more long-term. It's like a 30-day loan. And if you don't specify the period for a halva, it indeed is 30 days, which means it's a long period of time, and you're liable to forget the loan was made, and therefore you'd be more prone to write it down, so it shouldn't be forgotten. A she'ela is typically a much more short-term, you know, lending, where at any given time, the lender could say, now I need my thing back, or the equivalent back. So our Mishnah is going to say that when you borrow something from a friend on Shabbos, let's say, for example, the Mishnah says, Shoel adam mechavero kade yain v'kade shemen. A person may indeed borrow from his friend, his neighbor, a pitcher of wine or a pitcher of oil because he needs it for Shabbos. But when he borrows it, he should use a turn of phrase. This is a bit lost in translation, but in Hebrew it certainly makes sense. He should use a turn of phrase that doesn't imply a long-term loan, which would prompt the lender perhaps to write down that the loan was extended. And that being the case, the Mishnah says you should be shoel. Hashileni means to, you know, like I said, lend me for short term, if you will. So the Mishnah says, ubilvad shlo yomar lo halveni. The person who's doing the borrowing shouldn't request of the lender, using the expression of halveni, extend me a halva'a, a loan, because again, that implies something longer term. And the concern is he'll come to write something down. But he could say, Hashileni, let me borrow it short term. Again, fine. So in English, you would be stuck. The point is you wouldn't be able to say something like, let me borrow. You'd probably more have to say, like, do you have a pitcher of wine from here? Could I have a pitcher of wine? And then after Shabbos, you'll square things away. V'chein, says the Mishnah, Ha'isha mechaverta kikaros. A woman could borrow from her friend loaves, meaning loaves of bread. Shabbos comes around, she doesn't have a loaf of bread. She can go to her neighbor and borrow the bread. Again, using the expression hashileni, lend it to me, a she'ela, as opposed to halva. The reason this actually adds nothing to the Mishnah, it's the same as the previous case. The reason why the Mishnah says it is because in the time of the Mishnah, women tended to be illiterate and therefore not likely to write things down because they didn't write. So that being the case, the point is even a woman who, in the case of the Mishnah's time, is unlikely to actually write something down, still she has to refrain from using the expression halva'a. She has to stick with she'ela. Mishnah continues on and says, im eino ma'amino, if the lender doesn't trust the borrower to settle the score after Shabbos, maniach taliso eitzlo, then the borrower should leave, you know, his clothing, an article of clothing, at the lender's house, and that way after Shabbos he'll go back and essentially collect his article and square up. The point is that since he has the article, it acts as a collateral for the loan. But it's important that it's, as the Mishnah says, just leave it. It doesn't say leave it as some collateral. And that being the case, the point is you can't speak out explicitly, I'm giving you collateral, because that makes it formal into a loan. You're back to like loan territory. It sounds like business all over again. Rather, just leave the jacket behind and you'll go back after Shabbos to pick it up. That's what the Mishnah says. You just maniach taliso eitzlo, you leave, the borrower leaves his talis, jacket, whatever it is, behind. Va'os imo cheshbon la'achar Shabbos, and he, the borrower, will square things up after Shabbos, sorting out what he owes. V'chein, and similarly, when it comes to Erev Pesach b'Yushalayim, if you're in Yushalayim and you're going to have to bring your Korban Pesach, and it turns out that this is a Pesach where Shechalios b'Shabbos, the Erev Pesach, meaning the day that the Korban Pesach is to be brought, the 14th of Nisan, turns out to be a Shabbos, meaning like Seder nights will be Motzi Shabbos, there's a requirement to offer a Korban Pesach on Shabbos. Now what happens if you don't have a seh? A seh is a baby goat or a baby sheep, as per the requirements of a Korban Pesach. If you don't have one, you'll have to now get one on Shabbos. You can't buy it, but you could at least borrow it, in the sense of getting a sheep today, and you'll square up financially with the payments for sheep tomorrow. So the same idea is, v'chein erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim shechalios b'Shabbos, when the borrower needs the seh, he'll maniach taliso eitzlo, he will leave his talis, his jacket, in the presence of the lender who gave him the sheep, and then v'notel es pischo, he, the bar, will take that little animal to be brought as a korban pesach, v'osim cheshbon la'achar yom tov, and after yom tov, obviously you can't do it after Shabbos because that's the first day of Pesach, but after yom tov, he will square away with the person who gave him the sheep. The chiddush here is at least twofold. One is that you might have thought people are particularly strict about giving animals for Korban Pesach, and it's a strange thing to do to give an animal without writing it down and being able to collect it. They're strict about that. And second of all, in normal circumstances, you're not allowed, one is not allowed to be makdish, to consecrate an animal to be brought as a korban on Shabbos. That's forbidden because it's like giving it, it resembles giving it to the mikdash, which it means like the temple, which is kind of like a haknah, like a transaction. Nevertheless, since one is required to bring a Korban Pesach even on Shabbos, you see that the offering of the Pesach is doche, pushes off Shabbos, and therefore it also, the rabbinic prohibition against being makdish, consecrating an offering on Shabbos, is also pushed off, and therefore the point is that for at least for Korban Pesach, one could acquire Korban Pesach on Shabbos using like this method, sanctify it, bring it as a Korban Pesach on Pesach, on Erev Pesach, and have it on Pesach, and then just settle the score after Pesach, and that's going to be just fine.